Okay. Have my cue cards if you don't know. So I don't forget things. So wonderful time last night. I think that we talk about abundant life. That's part of it. That's part of it. Sharing, eating, fellowshipping with one another, just having fun, playing games. That's part of the abundant life. Last week, we talked a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. It was the New Year for Israeli New Year. And for the last 10 days until the 11th, they have a time of deep reflection and a time of repentance, a time of prayer, a time of fasting. And it concluded on 10-11, which is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And the thought was, if all went well and repentance was genuine, then you were sealed for a good new year, for a good year. So, and that's from Leviticus chapter 16. I want to read that real quick. Chapter 16, Leviticus verses 29 to 34. And it comes from this section. It says, "This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or a foreigner residing among you. Because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments." Got our yellow shirts in mind. Linen garments. "And make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the members of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses." So Yom Kippur is... it's like the most holiest days that the Jewish celebrate. Even those that aren't dedicated Jews that follow all the things, they celebrate this time of year. That's one they can all agree on. It's a time to focus on God, and a closeness is observed with God, and a relationship with God is observed. And again, with prayer and fasting and a time of repentance, they really focus on God. And in the day set aside, you set aside self, you just put yourself aside and you understand what atonement really is and what that's allowed and what that's caused. And it just gives them a chance for complete focus. And we got to have those times of focus and awareness on God and what he's done. So they've been celebrating this, and sometimes it's September, sometimes early October, the way it falls on their calendar. But you know what happens when we get close to God and wonderful things are happening and you're really on spiritual highs? You know what happens? Satan strikes. The enemy strikes. And you know what happened in Israel the other day, this, first week of October, and even last year, what happened the first week of October, we know last year Hamas invaded the South and killing and doing just unspeakable things to their people. This year we got Hezbollah and Iran that have attacked and bombed and the area to the north. So, Satan will do anything he can and use anything he can against God. Remember, I say, this is a battle, this is people. Well, it is people in the battle, but I think you can somehow dig deeper, and all the battles are spiritual battles. It's not between people, it's between spirits, good and evil. It's between Satan and God. There's always a deeper thing in there to search out why people are battling. It's a spiritual battle. People are part of those spiritual battles. Satan will use anyone. Satan will use those you believe are evil. You know, it's not hard to believe some of these people are evil that have attacked Israel. It's easy to think that, but sometimes he will use people you believe are good. You know, he'll use them too. And you have to be careful not to allow yourself to be a tool in Satan's hands. You have to really consider what you do, because Satan will use anything. You know, it just takes an attitude or maybe just a spoken word to cause problems, to create havoc in a relationship. That's what Satan wants. And that's what happens when we get close to God and wonderful things are happening. You know, the enemy strikes and you know, they're attacked. And Satan's saying, you know, you just celebrated. I know you just celebrated, and you celebrated this atonement, and you're sealed for another year. And he's trying to take that away. He said, I'm telling you, you're not sealed because I'm still here. Well, as a Christian, you are sealed. You're sealed by the Spirit. And that can't be taken away. And that's just not for next year. That's for your whole life. You're sealed by the Spirit. So you can't overcome. Satan doesn't have that control unless you let him. Otherwise, you have control because you're sealed by the Spirit. If you let the Spirit control you. You know, sometimes in the battle, you got to know both friend and foe. You know, helps to know both parties. You know, Randy's not here this morning. I think he's stuck in a tree somewhere. But before his surgery, he wanted to spend some time in a tree anyways. And maybe with God out there, probably. But you know, yeah, squirrels, yeah. You know, when Randy coaches football, you know, he coaches the Northview High School team. You know, he knows his team because he's got a relationship with the players. You know, he knows them. He understands what they can do. He understands what they can't do. He understands what talents they have and where to use them. And he spends his time with them and he trains them. And the idea is to train them up to be better than they know they can even be. You know, to surpass what they think they can do. To be better than they think they can be. And he shows them how. And he teaches them how. How to plan for the other team. You know, the enemy as such. You know, how to plan. How to be prepared for what they're going to do when they meet. Because they will meet. They're going to have a game coming up. They're going to meet the enemy. They're going to meet the foe. But you also have to know the other team. You know, you have to know your players. But, you know, they may watch on film. I didn't know high schools had it, but Anoy says they've got the tablets and stuff now, even in high school, where they can automatically show them the play and what happens. So they watch film to know what the other team does. They get an idea of the tendencies. You know, what they do and the ways the other team will try to beat you. And you can see by watching film and studying them and that they run, you know, various plays that they run. And it's at certain times depending on the circumstances that's going on. Sometimes you even have a scout team, you know, that pretends to be the other team and part of your players pretend to be the other team so you can have that live experience in seeing what they do and learn how to defend against it. Well, God's told us who the teams are. You know, he explains who each one is and what they do. But it's a battle with eternal consequences for the players and our life battle. And we're being coached up. We've got the manual. But he's coaching us to be prepared for those things. And I want to go to John 10 today as the main text, John 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 17. John 10, verses 1 through 17. It says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate." And this is kind of the key point, 9 and 10. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So we have the two teams. We have the two teams, how they're going to attack, what they want to give you. We have the opposition. We have the enemy, who is a thief that only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And again, he sneaks around. He's sneaky. He sneaks around and uses whatever means he can to take care. He wants to take everything from you. You know, he wants to take everything from you. Again, he uses what we would term bad people, and sometimes he uses what we would term good people. He's cunning. He knows how to use people, and he knows how to use them almost without them even knowing it. That's why we got to be wary. We got to understand what he's trying to do, how he uses people. And again, it just takes a word or an attitude, and he's got you. You did what he's wanted you to do. Now, you might recognize it later, you know, but then it's too late. You know, it's that word's in the toothpaste. You know, you can squirt them out, but you can't put them back in again. The damage is already done. It's too late by then. You got to be prepared ahead of time for that battle. You know, that you've already been a pawn in the scheme that he's got going on to disrupt and to steal. And it costs. You know, it costs. It costs people joy. It costs people security. It costs people relationships. It costs people love. And it costs people all the good things Jesus wants to give them. All the good things that he wants you to have. All the blessings he wants you to have. Now, Satan, I don't think Satan wants your boat or your car or any of that stuff, but Satan wants your relationships. That's what he cares about. He doesn't want you to have any. He doesn't want you to have any with God. He doesn't want you to have any with fellow believers. He cares about your relationships. That's what he's out to steal and destroy and to kill. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And will do whatever he can to keep you from them. Now, if there were referees, there's not. There would be lots of penalty flags and whistles and fouls going on, but there's not necessarily a referee. You gotta pick which team you're on. You know, Jesus, on the other hand, is the shepherd. says the one who watches over the sheep, that those who know him and hear his voice, and he leads them into protection, he leads them into safety, he leads them into salvation. And it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, he wants to give us abundance. And we don't take that into account enough a lot of times, that abundance that he wants to give us, an abundant life. You know, he wants us to have everything. Satan doesn't. That abundant life is mostly in relationships. You know, there may be times, you know, God will call a timeout, sort of. Got a timeout. Sometimes you get kind of flustered and, you know, the other team's on a roll and the coach calls a timeout to get your focus reset again. And God does that to get our attention and to refocus us. But he coaches us again into what we can achieve and what we can be in him. That's what he teaches us. You know, abundance doesn't come by our own ideas and our own works. You say, well, oh, I got that car. You know, I worked hard. I got that car. I got that new motorcycle or whatever it is, you know. You know, you have the abundant life for about 15 minutes. That's not a big deal anymore. You know, till your son, grandson, whatever, puts that first scratch on it. Then it's just a vehicle. Just something to get you around. You know, abundance, again, doesn't come out of our own works, but it comes by his grace and his love for us and our obedience to him. You know, if we're not obedient, we're still going to be in trouble. He loves us. He's given us grace, but it requires obedience as well. You know, and he wants to give us all he has. You know, he wants you to use... He's given us even senses, you know. Smell. Smell of food's pretty good. Smell of pumpkin pie is very good. You know, taste. Again. I always get the picture every year from my sister-in-law showing the piece of pumpkin pie sitting on top of the big tub of Cool Whip. That's perfect. Although I said there's probably room for a double-deck pie in there too. But, you know, just the taste of the things we hear, you know, hear from each other, just nature out in the woods, you know, as Randy listens to just the wind or birds or, you know, anything, just the hearing that we have is a blessing, touching, you know, hugging a grandkid, what's better? Seeing all the things we have to see, to enjoy the beauty of the world he's created. You know, it's still there. Sometimes we think a lot of it's gone, but it's still there. And, you know, take a look when you leave. Just look around, you know. Forget some of the problems that's coming tomorrow. Stay off your phone. Just look out the window. Look and see what's there. You know, he wants you to have a wonderful life. And part of that's in the experiences you have. You know, the experiences you have builds you up. It teaches you, it learns. Your emotions that you have. He wouldn't give us emotions if they weren't important. You know, there's happiness. There's joy, which we all want and can have. But there's also sadness, which teaches us lessons too. It helps us to appreciate the joy more. And relationships. He gives us those relationships we have with one another. You know, just take a look around, see those who love and care about you. You know, everybody, I think, truly loved and cared about each other last night. wanted to be with each other, wanted to share, wanted to talk, wanted to have fun. And he wants to give those in abundance too. You know, there may be some hurts, there may be some fails, maybe some falls. But just, we got to understand there's a purpose behind those as well. You know, that's part of the coaching. It's part of the training, training you up for the battle. It's making you stronger. It's making you wiser if you see it. But you got to see it. You can't just say, well, that was a mess. You have to get something from it. You have to see what it's doing. See what he's trying to achieve. Because sometimes we don't look at it right. You know, I'm in the graphics business, and printing's changed over the years. You know, it used to be all screen printed, you know, and now it's digital printed. You got pixels and dots. You know, it used to be everything was made out of a dot. You know, either a black dot or a blue dot or a red dot or a yellow dot. Those were your four colors. And if you looked in a loop at a picture or when it come off the press, that's what it is. Bunch of little teeny tiny dots. Didn't make much sense if you're looking at them in a loop. They're just dots. You know, it didn't show you anything. They were separated, not joined together most of the time. They were just dots. But as you back away, take a look at the bigger picture, and it all comes into focus. And you have this beautiful image that was printed. You know, it's the same thing with digital prints. You know, you see a billboard that looks pretty nice sometimes. You still see a printed billboard. They're going to digital now, but printed billboards, you know, the pixels, if you would get up close, is, you know, about this big. You know, the pixels are the digital dots of screen printing, but they're huge. It looks terrible if you're standing right up in front of it. So what looks bad, you step back, you can see the beauty in it. We have to see those things. And we have to see that the final outcome was worth the time taken for all the small dots to go together. Going to have an invitation as I finish up here in just a minute. But Jesus lived life. I believe he lived life when he was here. And he wants you to live it as well, but you have to have the right coach. You know, you can ignore Jesus. You can ignore his words if you choose. You say, well, I didn't pick a side. Well, that automatically puts you on Team Satan. That's the only other choice. Team Jesus or Team Satan. If you don't pick Jesus, you're automatically on the other team. It's your choice which way to go. Now, there's only one door in the ark. There wasn't a back door. There was only one door. Only one door in the tabernacle. There's only one door to heaven, and that's Jesus. Again, a good coach brings out the best in you, brings out more of you than you knew you could give. And it gives you such a great appreciation and joy when the outcome is there. 2 Corinthians, verse 9. 2 Corinthians, not verse 9, chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. A lot of people use that for giving for money. I think it's more than that. It's giving of yourself. It's giving of your life. It's living the life God wants you to, all you can. And give it all you can to it. Because life is given to you. You know, life, you know, when you say, well, I'm saved. I already did that. Well, it's that life is, it's just not a free pass into heaven. It's not like Monopoly, you know, get out of jail free card you hold. It's not a card you hold until heaven that you use at a later date. You know, well, I've got that, you know. You know, in a way, don't settle for saved, because there's so much more. Don't get me wrong, you know, fire insurance, as they call it, is a good thing to have. You know, if you're saved, you've got the fire insurance. You know, you're going to heaven. It's a wonderful thing to own, but you can have a wonderful, abundant life now that he wants you to have. You know, it starts now, not later. It's now. I want to close with 1 Timothy 1:14. 1 Timothy 1:14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. You know, if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then let the Holy Spirit fill you with the abundant life he has for you. It's there for the taking. Be on the right team. He's prepared you. He's trained you to not succumb to the enemy, to not be mixed in with them. Just listen, be obedient, and just accept the abundant life he has for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the differences that you show us between you and Satan, and good and evil. And Lord, we fight those every day. And Lord, we're thankful that we're sealed by the Spirit, by you, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are sealed, not for a year, but for eternity. But Lord, that seal starts now. It's not later. It's right now when we start to have that abundant life, that you want to give us everything that you offer. Lord, we don't have to get caught up in a bitterness and anger, and we need to understand that the trials that come are training for what they are, and see you in them, and see the outcome, and look at the big picture, not just the individual parts that doesn't look like they go together, but to look at the big picture, Lord, just to see what you're doing, just consider what you're doing. Lord, just help us consider you each and every day, Lord, not just certain days of the year, but that you're a part of our life, and you've given us everything we need to succeed, everything we need to have a strong relationship with you and a strong relationship with those around us. And Lord, we just pray that we're examples enough to that's what's seen. And that people would want what we have. So Lord, help us just to strengthen us to do your will, to be obedient to what you've called us to do. And Lord, just help us focus on that abundant life that you want to give us. We just thank you. We praise God and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.